All right. Galatians chapter 4. He calls it to establish us. And that's to let us know what God is doing today with us. What God wants to do today with us. If you don't know, how can you do it? Yeah. My old English teacher, she says, when you know better, you do better. And Paul's, he's like, I want you to know better so you can do better. And one of the things about the Galatians is he's saying, I want you to know better. Not like the Galatians, not like the Jews were making them think they had to do better to get it. He says, you already have it. So he writes these things to correct the Galatians. He starts off with his apostleship. Mike, all right. He starts off with his apostleship is to establish his authority as a father in the faith to the Galatians. You know what he said in that verse? I don't think we got there. He says, my little children, I travail in pain again until
Christ speaks on you.
He said, for I stand in doubt of you. He didn't know if they really believed it. So if you don't believe it, that means you're not saved. In Romans, he says, if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you can forget about the next step, couldn't you?
Right.
What's the next step? Salvation? What's the next step?
Knowledge. That all men might be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth.
Okay.
Sanctification?
That's it. Sanctification. That's the next step. He says, we don't just get saved to be spectators. He wants to use us. So he says, now that you're saved, he said, you did
run well. You did.
That means they had made up their mind that we're going to go this way. They were being sanctified. Mm-hmm. And he says, who did hinder you? Right. Mm-hmm. Who stopped you? Somebody else got some other doctrine in. So he writes, he has established his authority as a father. Do you notice that in all his epistles, he says something like that? Do you ever notice that? When you're reading through, he'll say, like he wrote to the Corinthians, he says, though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have only one. Y'all remember that?
Father.
I was getting ready. I'm getting sidetracked again. He says, I have begotten you through the gospel. Be ye followers of me. He knows that he has the information that we need to grow us up. So he writes to the Galatians, and that's why he goes right in chapter 1, he has to defend his authority. He says, this is how I got it. And it wasn't something I thought up. I got it from the risen, glorified Lord. I didn't get it from the 12. He says, this is not something when we went up and they says, well, this is what you preach, Paul. He says, no, I went up and told him, this is what I preach. And I got it from the risen Lord.
Yeah.
And it's different from what you've been saying. And he says, because it's by revelation. He's telling me things are changing. And he goes to chapter 2, and he explains that it's Christ working in him, that we all got it by grace. Right? Chapter 3, he says, this is how you got it too. You got it by grace. Don't let anybody trick you into working when you got it by grace. And then he introduces Abraham, something they should be able to relate to. He says, Abraham, How did he get it? He got it by faith. Did he get it because he worked? Or did he get it because he believed? Was he righteous because he worked? Or was he righteous because he believed? Was he an heir because he worked? Or was he an heir because he believed? And he said, well, you're the children of Abraham. Are you a child of Abraham if you work? Or are you a child of Abraham if you believe? So he says, well, why are you acting like Ishmael instead of Isaac? You know, that contrast is all the way through. I know it's, well, the contrast is all where, even from the beginning, you think Cain and Abel, right?
Okay.
And Abel, he bought what was required, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
The scripture said, in process of time, they bought an offering. That means in process of time, you know, that implies that they had some information. In that process of time, they had some information to work on. They didn't just sit down and after a while they said, I'm going to give God an offering. Somebody told them.
Well, I'm going to have to go back there. I haven't seen
it. Go back there. Genesis. We're going to go back to Galatians.
God told them what to do. Split the brain.
Say it again.
God
told him what to bring. So, you know what? They receive... I'm sorry. Genesis chapter... Was it 4? They received... That's what's so important about the doctrine. Just because, no, they had a different type of revelation back then where God actually revealed himself to them and spoke to them. Well, we had a written word. But he never leaves his people without information. He has to inform us, doesn't he? That makes sense. He couldn't hold you accountable for things that he never told you. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a killer of the ground. Tiller of the ground. He was a killer, but he was a tiller. He was the tilling killer.
He knew where to bury him.
He knew where to bury him, yeah. Do you notice the little things like that we read over? Mm-hmm. He says, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. What do you know about the ground in Genesis 4?
Curse.
So you got a man who's cultivating the ground, right? And then you got a man who's a keeper of sheep. That ought to automatically make you think of what?
Jesus.
Spiritual. A spiritual man and a what? And an earthly man. And is it a wonder? Here's the earthly man who does what?
Does the earth.
And then he gets mad at the spiritual man and does what?
He kills him.
You got two sons here. Who one acted off the information, right? And one didn't. He says, verse... 3. There you go, James. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first thing of his flock. And of the fat there, of the what? First things of his flock. There's another foreshadow. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said, he said, why are you angry? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? He gave them the information. One acted. Wonder why Abel acted on it and Cain didn't.
One believed, one didn't believe.
That's all it is. One believed and one wanted it. One didn't believe and he did it his way. And God, yes.
Verse 7, I think, is it for me that they already had some information?
He says, what does that say?
If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So they knew what was to do well and what was to not do well.
Right, that choice right there, right? And God, in his graciousness, he says, you can still do it.
Right, you can still do it.
Isn't that something?
Do you think Cain may have been bipolar?
He could have been.
He wasn't listening real well.
That's not the point of the story.
Right. They didn't know about bipolar disease back then.
I wasn't making a point. I was
human. But anyway, you see that point there? And from that man, you know what? From Adam, that proves to us that after that event, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. And it's manifest in his children.
Yes.
The first,
right away.
And nobody, like God said, nobody's making you do this. But he says, if thou doest not well, sin what? Lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And I've heard other people say this, but to me, that's God is introducing him. He's saying, your old nature is waiting right there to take advantage when you don't follow the doctrine. He's waiting. He says, if thou doest, he says, and his desire shall be unto you. That, you know what, he wants to, the flesh wants to rule you. Do you know that? All the flesh needs is a window of opportunity. You know, I was reading something, this was a while back, and it said that a mouse could squeeze through a hole as small as a dime. And I thought, wow. So I have to make sure I caulk every, I hate mice, so I have to make sure I caulk every hole that I see. I mean, I'll go through, there's caulk all over the house. But sin is like that. All he needs is, he just needs to, like I said, just give him a half of an opportunity.
Give a dime's worth.
Yeah. 5 cents. In Romans, he said this, make not provision for the flesh. You know, he doesn't need for you to think it out. Because the minute you think about it, he's ready. He's ready to act on it. But anyway, I'm back to Galatians. I'm sidetracked again. But you see that. You do see how sin is passing on. And this is important when we're back in Galatians, because what you have now is fallen men who are we're under the curse, and they're going through history. They're all fallen, right? Which means they're all excluded from being what? From being righteous. And they're all, if you're not righteous, you're excluded from being an heir or a son. Because the first father, who was a son, didn't keep the doctrine, right? And he passed it all on to his offspring. Matter of fact, look at this. Are you still in Genesis?
Yes.
Look at verse 5, or chapter 5. You'll like this, Sharpton. Where you, to prove to us that we're all sinners after this, after Adam, not as if chapter 2 wasn't enough. He says this, verse 4:25, then we'll go down to 5. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, he hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. And I've heard somebody say, well, that's when the godly seed began. You ever heard that? Okay. You ever heard that? Okay. Well, people say that when Adam got Seth, that's when the godly seed began to propagate. Well, let's see. Unless God changed his mind, he says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now, before, if God created a godly seed through Seth, that means that they would be entitled to be what?
Heirs.
Heirs. They would be entitled to it. They would be automatically what? Righteous. Mm-hmm. What do you need a redeemer for? Verse 3. And Adam lived
130 years.
Sharpton, he lived 130 years and did what? Begot a son in his own likeness and in his own image and called his name
Seth.
He's saying, in case you got any weird ideas that this made things better, he's still operating in sin. He's still cursed with sin. And he lived 130 years. Like you said, nothing changed. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men. Even Seth, even Enos, and all the rest of them. Nothing changed. You're still not entitled to be an heir. What? Oh yeah, Romans 5, right. He said they're still unrighteous. You see something?
No, I agree with where you say that he begat a son in his own likeness. So, in other words, Adam was the only one that was made in the likeness of God. And after that,
right,
in the likeness of Adam, which was the fallen man. Right?
And everybody else after that. Mm-hmm. You know, they now it's inherent. It's a genetic. It's in your blood now. You need a blood transplant. You need gene therapy. Something's got to change on the molecular atomic level, right? You got to be a new creature.
That's why it's the book of the generations.
The generations. Right. Okay. Now, let's go back to Galatians.
I'm sure that's where we're going.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm a little slow here.
Man. Okay. So, what was that? He uses Abraham, and he shows that Abraham got it by faith, right? And he's showing us that when he goes back to the two sons, if God says you're righteous, He considered Abraham perfect. And that's why he makes them the promise. He says, through your seed, this is how I'll make them righteous, if they believe me. This is how they become an heir, if they believe me. This is how they get the promise, if they believe me. Not work, if they believe me. And he goes through and he says, let me clarify the seed. He says, when he said seed, he didn't mean seeds like many seeds. He meant seed like one seed. And he said, that's Christ. And he says in 3, he says that Christ was made a curse for us. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Verse 14, he says that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. He enabled us to be heirs. I'm just quoting that. You don't have to turn there. We're going to get down to where we should be in a minute. And so he says, we're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Right?
I agree.
Okay. And 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye
Abraham's
seed and
heirs
according to the promise.
We're in 4 or 3?
We're in 4 now. 4:1. Oh, okay. What do you have to do to be an heir?
Believe.
Be in Christ.
You have to believe and you have to be in Christ and then you become an heir. Right? You become a child. Right? Verse 4. Now, did you have your hand up yet?
No, I'm sorry.
He says, now, chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
Ain't that something?
What makes that? What makes you say that?
Well, if you don't really, we can say if you really don't understand right division, you don't know the authority and the freedom that you have in Christ, your mind never been renewed, so you're still a slave to the old man, so to speak.
Yeah, and now in particular, a person who functions under performance, under the law, he's automatically disqualified from being an heir because he's not even a son. But he says, if when you believe and you become a son, he says, but as long as you under the law, he says that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And he's introducing in this chapter the adoption, the process of adoption. And he's saying that as long as he's a child, he's differs nothing than a servant. Mm-hmm. There's a verse back in Genesis, and we're not going to flip there, where when God first calls Abraham, he says, I am thy exceeding great reward. Thank you. And Abraham replies, he says, what would you give me?
Seeing
I go childless.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come in? Dear thing, why did he automatically introduce a child into the equation? Because he knew what?
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
How can he?
He needed an heir.
Uh-huh.
There was a passage back in Genesis where God told Judah's son to raise up seed to his brother. His name was Onan. He said, go into your brother and raise up seed to your brother. And he went in.
Your brother's wife.
Your brother's wife. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And the scripture said that he went in and he spilled the seed because he knew that the child would not be his. And God blessed him. No, he didn't. God said this, and the Lord slew him because he was wicked. But Abraham, he knew that if I'm going to perpetuate this, I have to have a son. And only he says, and this, the man who controls everything I have is this Eleazar, my servant, my steward. Even when Isaac is older, Genesis, look at Genesis. Hold your hand in Galatians. We're going to come back here. Man. Genesis 24. Let's see. Make sure I don't lose it. 20.
Chapter
24. Chapter. Did somebody. What's. 24. Yeah, that's it. 24. And verse 24. And Genesis 24, 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not, follow this, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But go thou, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Let me ask something before you even think about it further. What is Abraham asking his servant to do?
Get a bride for Isaac.
Get a bride for his wife. He said his servant ruled over what? All that he had.
Right.
So if you take those two things, let me ask you something. How old do you think Isaac is? 40s? Yeah. Here's what.
We're lost.
Well, we're going to find out in a minute. Here's what's interesting to me is that couldn't Isaac pick his own wife?
You think so?
No, because the other guy was over all of his...
Say it again, sir.
The other guy was over all of his...
He ruled over his house.
Over his house, right.
He ruled over his house. Doesn't matter how old he was, the transfer hadn't taken place.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a man, and he won't even let his son go out and pick his own wife.
Wow.
But the servant.
Right.
Yeah.
See, an heir... Different nothing from a servant, as long as he a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
Yeah.
Flip back to to flip over to 25:5. And it says what? That Abraham, after he had six more sons, verse 5 says that he gave all that he had to who?
Isaac.
To Isaac. And he sent the rest of them away. Now, verse 19. Same chapter.
Why did he send them away?
Because they weren't to be heirs with his son.
Okay.
They weren't to share. They weren't joint heirs together. Because they... That's a good question. Why didn't he let all his sons join in on the inheritance?
Well, the Lord had said that take Isaac thine only son. He was the son of promise.
He was the son of promise, more specific.
He was the lineage of the seed.
More specific.
He was the spiritual son.
He was the spiritual son. That's very specific. Go a little out. Be a little more broad. broaden that out a little bit.
Just give it to us.
Yeah.
What made him the spiritual son?
God.
God. He was given by what?
Promise.
By promise. And he was conceived in faith. It was God that had done the work.
Yeah.
Right.
So the rest of them was all Abraham.
Yeah.
That was worse.
So he says, none of those.
Oh.
None of those count. He says, here, have a nice life.
Well, law and grace can't dwell yet.
That's the principle.
Yeah.
That's why he says, when he goes over to Galatians, he says,
wow.
Here's written, he says, Abraham had two sons. The one, and the other, and we haven't got there, but that's what he's trying to show you. He says, this is the allegory that I'm giving you. 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. That's what I said. That's what I said. I said, 40 years? And then that number popped up, Sharpton. And I said, why did he tell us 40? Because, you know what? There's a preparation period, a probationary period. And Isaac now, he's past that stage, and Abraham now, and he know what the next few verses says, and he died. All right, now back to Galatians.
Just got him out of the way.
Who got Abraham?
Yeah. Okay. See, no, you know what? I don't know. It may not mean the same thing that it means. You know, when I'm reading it. It gets exciting to me. But, good. Thank you. Because I know. Huh?
We're just sitting here and stunned.
Yeah, because I'm going. I'm tying it in. It's good.
And because that's when I know that when I'm reading, and then he's dropping these things on us that we just go through that. Every little thing that he's putting there, it's like speed bumps.
Yeah.
And he said, boop, you're reading too fast. Boop, you're reading too fast. And he's trying to get you to slow down because there's truth in there.
Yeah.
And it all it does is help you when you get way over here.
Yeah.
Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our
learning
that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know what? All he says is meditate on these things. Just think about it. He said, I'm not, even the guy's name. He says, if I'm telling you his name is Isaac, I didn't just say he had a son. I said, you know what? I'm telling you his name is Isaac. And we're just, why are you calling him Isaac? I don't know. Or if a guy says, well, Zach, okay, Galatians chapter 4. He says that heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's trying to get the Galatians to see now. He says, you won't get it because the law keeps you as a child. It doesn't let you make decisions. It doesn't let you operate in freedom. It doesn't give you the responsibility of an adult.
So the first servant was his son?
The first servant was...
Yeah, because he let him choose the wife for Isaac.
He was...
And he is the servant of... I mean, he is over all of Abraham. Whatever he's got, he's in charge of.
Right.
Was he a son or was he just a believer?
He was a servant. That's what he was. He was over all that he had. What'd you say? Head servant, right. He was a tutor and governor, right.
But he was no relation.
No.
Okay.
No.
Right.
Which is another great point, is he didn't have a blood relationship, but he controlled everything that Abraham had until the seed became
40 years old.
An heir, right. Until he became right, the age. Until he reached the... Oh, we're not there yet. We'll get there. Okay. You know what the Lord says this? And he said this in John. He says, I call you my friends. No, he didn't. He says, yeah, he said, you, wait a minute.
You know,
because the servant doesn't know. I know what you're talking about.
12, John 12. That ain't it. John. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to see if I can find it. John. Oh, 15. Wow. John 15. He said this. Well, I guess y'all turn it anyway. I guess y'all go ahead and turn.
Sorry,
John. Well, I didn't. I can't keep my. John 15.
15
he says, 15:14. He says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now, I thought of that verse because he's saying a child, even though he's an heir, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. As if when you're functioning under the law, God can't, he can't in no way treat you as a son. A good example, Ed has a business. Ed and Annette, they have this business. When Leanne was 8, you don't pull her into a board meeting and start explaining her all the details of the business, do you? You still have to tell her when to eat or when to, you know, go to bed or when to turn the TV off. She couldn't comprehend the things that you want to tell her about running a business. It's like, why do that? Because she's not of age. She, even though she's in line, now she is. You can tell her now, couldn't you?
Right.
Why?
42.
She's 42.
she has grown up now.
She's grown up. She's not. When was the last time you called Annette? When was the last time you called her and told her it's time for her to go to bed?
Yesterday.
Long time.
Long time. You can't do that. Because they are now what? They're of age. So he says in 4, he says that verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So they're, you know what? They're told this is what the law does. It tells you what to do, when to do it, how long to do it, how not to do it. It tells you it controlled every detail of their lives. It told them what to wear, what not to wear. It told them what to plant, what not to plant. It told them how to treat people, how not to treat people. It controlled every detail of their lives. They couldn't make decisions on their own.
But I was different growing up. I took my daughter with me when she was 3 years old and let her learn. And today she's a pretty smart kid. But that's a total different philosophy than what you're telling me.
Right. Because God is, he's talking about the law, is how you can't be my son and my heir, I can't turn anything over to you as long as you're a child. And when you function under the law, you're telling me that you're a child. When you're trying to perform, you're telling God that you're not ready for liberty. You're not appreciating. He's saying, I want to put you in a position where I can trust you to do some things. You know what is, you guys have, how many times you said, well, we're going out of town. We want to go out of town, but I can't leave my kids at home alone.
You take them with you.
I don't know why. I don't know what they'll do. They're not
ready.
They're not ready. They're not grown up. They're not responsible. So you, and if you do, you got a list this long. 8:00, do this. 8:30, do this. 9:00, do this. 10:30, you got the law there. Because, right, You don't trust them with liberty, and you're leaving them to take care of your possessions, your inheritance. And you got, and when you're there, every few minutes, hey, what are you doing? And you get, hey, everything okay? And you get there, like, I'm just checking. You don't trust them. James Martin, can you? He's in his own zone there.
He's making some good notes.
But he says, but God says they're under that tutor and governor system until the time appointed of the Father. There's a period where something's going to happen when He will enable us through our growth to do what?
To become heirs.
You know, in the Jewish day, I know you guys heard of this, they had two things. It was like a bat mitzvah for the women and the bar mitzvah for the boys. At that time, it was the father, and they didn't, you know what, the Jewish children, they didn't even know what their fathers did half the time. Do you know that? Some of them went to, you know what, I won't use that, because I don't know how that would apply to you. But anyway, they didn't know what their parents did. But when they became a certain age, that's when their father would take them, and he says, I'm going to show you now what I do. Every day. I didn't be an apprentice. And they began to do what?
Teach
them about
life.
The business. Life.
Well.
And life as it relates to the business. And they became apprentices, which would equip them to do what?
Carry on the family business.
Become an
heir.
And they were already heirs. But now he says, I want you to become a son. And that's what it is. That's what the bar mitzvah was. Bar means son. Mitzvah is like a introduction process. And he's introducing him as a son. Now, that should have made you think of something right there.
Well, I did.
Okay.
I don't know if it's that. So is it the same? How do we connect that as being an heir of Christ? Is it just getting our feet in the door and then being what you had said last time, a joint?
Right. And see, that's what you said that. I know you was thinking about that. He's saying, what's the difference? And that's what Paul, when he talks about it in Romans, we got, you know what, let's go back to Romans and look at this verse, because it's, now think about this. The stuff that Paul lays down in Romans, it's kind of like headings on the chapter. Remember, it's building up. The doctrine is building up, so the information begins, as you go further and further into it, it gets wider and wider. The scope becomes more and more. He could never tell the Romans what he told the Ephesians. Because the Romans were just what?
Babies.
They were just babies. When he gets over to the Ephesians, he's laying it on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read these things, you know, it's like, wow, wow. But they're able to handle it. When he wrote to the Corinthians, he didn't talk about what he talked about to the Colossians. He told the Corinthians, he says, I can only tell you what? Jesus Christ and what? And Him crucified. He says, because you are not
ready.
You're not ready. You're not able to bear it. Because you're, he says, you're carnal. You're just like a baby. He says, I can't talk to you about these things. 8. He says,
Romans 8.
Romans 8. So he comes, 8, he comes up through here and he says, verse 8, in chapter 8, he's actually talking about now our relationship to the Spirit. Is how we're able, how we, now that we're believers, are able to tap in to the Spirit. That's why he says, you know, if you walk after the flesh, you will die.
So even though he's heir, he's not being put in charge of anything because he hasn't matured yet.
Say it again for the records. Because he, right, he can be an heir, but he's still a child. Do you notice this? I know you notice this. When you're reading through the epistles and he'll say, I want you to be perfect. I want you to present every man mature in Christ, perfect in Christ. This is the will, this is my will that I would, even your perfection. And he writes in Ephesians, he says that we might grow up in him and all things that he said unto the a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You ever know, he's using those perfect. He'll drop it around. You say perfect. Writes to the Corinthians, he said, quit you like men, be ye perfect. He's telling them, he said, grow up. Mm-hmm. Grow up. What grows you up? And when we started off, indoctrination. Is I'm going to give you this teaching because I know that this teaching is what you need.
So I wonder, as much as we grow, is that what's going to consider how much we are in charge of? Am I going?
You own the money. Keep going.
Once we get in heaven.
That's what the gold, silver, and precious stones is building on the doctrine. It's not.
That's what it is.
It's not all the parking cars and.
Right. No, cooking chicken.
Cooking
right.
Chicken is building on doctrine that edifies and it's. That's why Paul says I'd have all men be saved. That's got to get that saving part. But then coming to a knowledge of the truth, got to build on that foundation.
And see, what we don't know is that the truth. It encompasses a lot of information that we don't have today. When the very passage when Karen was quoting it about the gold, silver, and precious stones is he's talking about him and Apollos and Peter, and he's talking to the Corinthians, and he said this. He says, "Who are we? But servants, ministers." He says, "All right, Corinthians." And we're going
to.
I know, we're going to go back to that. Hold your hand in Romans. Oh, you know what? We don't do anything. I'm out of.
Well, at least give us Romans 8.
I'm out of time.
Spend an hour.
Let's feed off the manna.
Feed off the manna. Two verses then. Can I get two verses?
Yeah.
Okay. Go to Corinthians then, and then back to Romans. 1 Corinthians 3. He's writing in verse 1. He says it. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto even as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Verse 5. What they were saying is, I'm a Paul. They were divided like we are today. Mm-hmm. I'm a Paul, I'm a Peter, I'm of Christ, I'm of Apollos. And he says, verse 5, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But what? Ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Neither he is that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Verse 9. He says, verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that ministereth are one. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own
labor.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, Do you get children to labor with you?
At times.
All right. That's an exception. We'll take Frank's word as an exception. But do you get children? Do you get children to run your business?
Mm-hmm. No.
Nope. Why not?
They're not capable.
Why not?
Because they're smarter than we are. That's why.
they are not.
Right.
They don't have the level of. They don't even know. If you said go and close the deal at this so and so place, close the deal.
What's that?
Is it shaped like a door?
Right. And you know what? You'll say, never mind. We use this saying in today's world. You don't send a child to do a man's job, right? Mm-hmm. And if you'll say, you don't send a boy to do a man's job. And that's why when Paul appoints the people to go into different assemblies, he sends my son, Timothy, yeah. My son, Titus. Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm back in. How to get Romans? 3.
That's where you said.
We're still in 3. Look at 3, verse 3:13. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself, yet so as by fire. What's he going to lose? What is he going to get a reward? What's the reward and what's the loss? He just told you. They'll say, well, he's not saved. Well, he just told you that he's still saved.
Yeah.
Well, what's being burned up and what's being added to him?
And what was being burned up?
No, he says, if any man's work.
Okay.
Bad doctrine, false.
That's what he's building with.
Yeah.
And he's building with it, he's building it in you, the believers. You know what? We are laborers with God.
Yeah.
And God is entrusting us as sons to do his work. That's for us. The work of the ministry. The edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints.
Yeah.
He's entrusting us to build you guys up. Because we have the information that we share from Paul that we know that'll build you up.
Yeah.
So if the minute I stop using that information, and Paul calls it, the minute I stop using gold, silver, and precious stones, that's the minute that I begin to lose my reward. What's the reward? I can't tell you in Corinthians, but we'll get to it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So since the wood, hay, and stubble is works, it's works done out of the not the spirit, but out of the flesh, right?
Right.
Whatever the works we did that makes us proud.
Right.
We can claim
right. Right. Because you know what? It has nothing to do with building them up. It has everything to do with
yes.
building you up.
Exactly.
And you must decrease.
Right.
He must right. increase.
So, we've got to move on.
All right. Romans 8. Romans 8.
So we're going to hit it next week again, right?
So. Romans 8. Okay. Romans 8, and then this will stop. He says, if verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, and we can't go into it, but he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you guys are like, well, just how people say, well, what's walking in the Spirit? walking in spirit, led of the spirit, is taking this information that God has given us and letting the spirit, huh?
No, I was just saying applying it.
And let it, right, letting it work in us, yielding to it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the Holy Spirit's in us, and Paul said it's the earnest of our inheritance, right?
Right.
It's just, you know what? He's saying, you in the family. No doubt about it, because I've given you my spirit. Matter of fact, in previous verses we quoted, he says, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Mm-hmm. So you got the spirit, and he says, now he says, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. He's in you, and the spirit, doesn't he tell you, or bear witness to you that I should be reading more. Mm-hmm. I should be learning more about him. I should be fellowshipping more. I should get to know my Father more. That's what the Spirit does. He said, listen, you got a relationship. You know, how many times, you know what, if you're at home and maybe you got a member of your family or your wife or, you know, where, you know, you want to talk to them, but, you know, they're in that room, you're in that room, and how many times you think, it's like, this ain't the way a relationship should be. That's what God, and he's saying, he said, I want you to want me. That's the spirit of adoption. He says, I want you to want what I want. Mm-hmm. The Spirit, he says, I want you to want what the Father wants. The Father wants, what father doesn't want his son to carry on what he's doing? If it means anything at all to him, right?
If he's doing what his Father is doing.
That's why the
right.
Lord said, my food is to do the will of my Father.
That's a son. That's what, 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Y'all gonna let me? I'm looking for a correction. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Children.
He's saying the spirit of adoption is telling you to want. He's saying, Want more. And then on the other hand, he says, you are in here. He said to Corinthians, he said, know that Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. They were so bad, he says, you might want to check. He said, but Christ is in you, unless you just never believed at all.
Yeah.
So he says that the children, the Spirit bears with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what?
Heir.
Semicolon. That means he's breaking it up to give you, he wants to add to this thought. We're heirs, right? Yes. You can say heirs, yes. Heirs of God. And, comma, and joint heirs with Christ. Semicolon. Yea. Yes. If conditional. Mm-hmm. If we
suffer with
him. Now, he likes that because he asked me about that the week before last. He's, remember we left last week? Oh, man. Remember we left last week and we talked about, when we talked about Caleb. When we talked about Caleb and Joshua.
Okay.
And what the rest of those people who didn't go in.
Yeah, I remember.
God in the
will. God in the will.
Were they children? They came out of Egypt under what?
Moses.
Under Moses? Under the blood.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Right. Yeah.
They came out. God says, I want to take you out. To take you into your inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So they get out there, and God says, go check it out. See if I'm telling you the truth. Want what I want. I got it prepared for you. I already got it sectioned out. 12 sections. Go take it. They go in, grab the stalk of grapes. They come out. Yep. That's it.
Two of them.
No.
Two. Well, they... Yeah, they did.
Two of them did.
No, they all did.
They all did?
They all said, yeah.
They were scared, except for two.
They all saw it, but only two believed it, and only two took hold of it. Yes, only two took hold of it. Only two embraced it by faith. Only two wanted it. Mm-hmm. Caleb and Joshua. And they came out, and they said, wait a minute.
We can take it.
We can. Why? Why can we take it?
Because
God promised it to us. He wants us to have it. And he says, we are well able to do this. And I like it. He says, let us go up at once. You know, he said, right now, man, let's go up right now. He said, let's go up right now. If God delight in us to get this land, we are well able. And then, but he says they didn't do it. He says, go out, you won't get the inheritance. And he says that there's two that'll go in because, and we said it, because they had a different spirit. Mm-hmm. They had the spirit of adoption. They wanted it. They wanted more. God, they wanted to enjoy.
They wanted what, to carry on the Father's.
What name. God had it in there. And you know what's funny?
They believed.
Well, God, that's why this is the law of grace. When God said, all that Moses did, God takes him up, and Moses, and he says, God, he says, let me see it. Let me see the land. And he says, you smote the rock. I told you to speak to it. You smote it. You won't go over. And he says, well, I can see him. He says, like Paul besought the Lord three times. And he says, let me see the land, please. And he says, he let me go in. That's what he said. And he says, no. He says, come up to this mountain. He says, I'm going to let you look over at it. He says, and that ought to suffice you. Let this suffice you. And then he said this, speak to me no more about this matter.
That's pretty good.
And but here's the principle. What he told him after that, he says, this man, Joshua, he said, this Jesus, he said, this man is going to lead them in to the inheritance. Don't y'all remember we did that? He says, not the law, but what?
Grace.
He says, I'll let you look at it. He said, but you can't take them in. That's truth. Stuff that where you get over here and it begins to magnify itself. And you said, that's why Moses couldn't go in. It had nothing really to do with him hitting the rock.
He was the law.
He was, if Moses get over, then they can say, hey, we did it. And God says, no. And when they got to the land, he says, I've already given it to you. I'm going ahead of you to drive them all out. Y'all ain't listening to that. let's stop that. I just said that.
Thank you, Lord. Okay.
Thank you, Frank.
Hope we are.
That was excellent. I'm going
to have
edifying us through the doctrine being established in us. You know, that's what doctrine is. Doctrine.